A year ago Tuesday, President Donald Trump came to Utah to remake two cherished expanses of Red Rock Country. Some Utahns cheered the changes, but some local business owners jumped right into the legal fight to restore the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument's original boundaries. KUER's Judy Faye spent the past year following two of them as they anxiously wait to see what the future holds for them and the monument.
It's a chilly December morning when I meet up with businessman Mark Austin in Escalante. He shows me around his latest venture, an upscale lodge.
So the idea was to add more units here with a small conference center.
Austin pauses in front of a spectacular vista. Striped layers of geological time stretched across the horizon, Escalante Canyon cutting through the middle. This wild place has been Austin's entrepreneurial workshop for nearly half a century. It's a place he defends with all his heart.
The reason it becomes passionate is because this landscape is powerful. It's beautiful. Beauty that you can feel, that's tangible, and to be able to live here is remarkable. And when other visitors come to this area, it impacts them the same way.
Austin built the Boulder Mountain Lodge and world-famous Hell's Backbone Grill up the road. He's tried reviving the sawmill. He organized local ranchers to produce organic beef. Austin's primarily a builder now.
I've had plans to build more. Now I'm a little reluctant and nervous to wait and see what happens as a result of this attempted monument reduction.
Austin's cautious because of what President Trump said about the monuments 2 days earlier at the state capitol.
These abuses of the Antiquities Act have not just threatened your local economies, they've threatened your very way of life. They've threatened your hearts.
The president was talking about allowing mining and new development on what used to be half of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. Governor Gary Herbert, county commissioners, congressmen, they were beaming behind Trump as he signed the proclamation.
Under my administration, we will advance that protection through a truly representative process, one that listens to the local communities, that knows the land the best, and that cherishes the land the most.
Austin and other local business owners wanted to set these leaders straight, but they never got the chance to share their vision for an economy based on the beauty and wildness of southern Utah. For them, Trump's signature showed a disconnect about how well Kane and Garfield counties are really doing. Within hours, conservation groups, scientific associations, and Native American organizations sued to stop the changes Trump's ordered. Austin's a plaintiff. By the time I return to southern Utah in the spring, the land agencies are already remaking the monument.
Right here in this room, folks are directed to a presentation that walks them through the scoping process.
Bleachers are tucked away at the Kanab High School gym. Maps are posted on easels. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management is hosting an open house here to implement Trump's changes. Tony Chalewski is checking boundary lines.
That's the old one, and this line here is the new one.
Chalewski is a member of the Kane County Resource Board. He's delighted the president has shrunken the monument, fewer restrictions on energy, ranching, and rural roads. Chalewski wants more local jobs.
As this squares away, you're going to see the people that grow alfalfa and those kind of things get back into the line to do good again and start making money again. Okay.
Trump's move has less to do with economics than history and local pride. That's because the sting has never worn off for some Utahns from the way the monument was created in 1996. It's a defining moment in the culture wars of the West.
To the people of Utah and of Western United States, it was a land grab for political reasons.
Hal Hamblin is a retired teacher and coach from a local ranching family.
And when we finally had a government that come in and said, we're going to shrink the size of this because it's too big, it was a land grab. It put a little confidence in our government back into small rural town America.
Susan Han sees it from the flip side. I meet Han just up the road at her Willow Canyon Outdoor Company, a cozy store jam-packed with backcountry adventure gear and the aroma of fresh-brewed coffee.
So this is a fabric and leather shoe?
Mm-hmm. It's nearly 4 months after Trump's proclamation, and Han's wondering what a smaller monument could mean for the tourist season that's just getting underway.
I have often said I don't know that our business would have survived without the monument.
Han and her partner opened the store 2 years before the monument. Hotels, restaurants, and guide services have sprouted up to support the new tourists.
We have a new pool, we have a new library, we have a new hospital. All these things have come in since the monument was proclaimed. I'm not going to say that, you know, the monument's presence is entirely responsible for our economic growth, but it has not been an impediment.
Government data show the area's economy humming in the 20 years after the monument's creation. Kane and Garfield counties have added 2,000 people and more than 2,400 jobs. Per capita income grew by more than a third. 2017 was the busiest year ever at Han's shop.
As a business owner and a member of the economic community here in Kanab, the problem is that for 21 years we've had the monument, we've built an economy based on the monument.
Han questions the support for restoring the Old West economy when the future of coal is so iffy and the monument's been such an asset.
And now it's being taken away from us. And it's an economic disaster coming if they don't manage this well, and I don't trust them to manage it well.
I stop in to see Han again on Halloween. The tour season's ended, and Han says she's frustrated that people who support the original monument couldn't get the Trump administration's ear, not even Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, who refused to meet with the business owners during his listening tour here.
I live here. I make my living here. I hike out on that land. The people who live in these communities are my neighbors and friends and my customers. I'm a stakeholder, and I want a voice at the table, and I don't feel I've been allowed that.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
I'm back in Escalante in time for dinner at Mark Austin's new restaurant.
Delicious.
Yeah, thank you.
What would you like as the dressing on your salad?
What do you have?
Charred lemon vinaigrette.
Austin opened the Devil's Garden Grill next to his lodge, despite his jitters about the monument. But any plan to expand?
It's on hold. I don't want to make any further investments, you know, with the threat of incompatible development taking place with the monument. Oil wells, coal mines are not compatible with scenic vistas and tourism. So yeah, I've held back a lot.
Austin tells me privately, if the courts let the shrunken boundaries stand, he's ready to walk away from what he's built over four decades. Maybe put the lodge up for sale. Judy Fays, KUER News.